Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I guess it's nice, but the job hasn't changed, so it really doesn't matter. But I'm excited about it. I'm glad it can be around another 5 years. And, you know, love this organization, love doing what I'm doing. So I appreciate the opportunity that, you know, the Broncos give me.
Nothing changes day to day?
No, everything's the same. So we still got to, you know, great group of guys. Matt Russell does a hell of a job on the personnel side and all our scouts. And so very fortunate to have a lot of good people that work for us. And so we'll just keep grinding it out. And you know, we're excited about this year.
John, you guys made one move yesterday, going out and trading for Alan Barber, offensive guard. I actually played with Alan and out in Seattle. I'm sure you guys are expecting him to compete for a starting job, just like everybody else on this team is. It did make me curious, though. Are there any other spots that you're looking to make a move at, grab somebody in the coming days, or is it just as you find someone?
Well, yeah, and it's really as things happen. And so, yeah. You know, we'd heard that, you know, Philly was going to cut him, and so we called him and we liked him on tape. He's a very good pass blocker and does a good job and got a lot of good experience, and he's tough. And so we really thought he could add to the competition, the offensive line, and come in here and compete for a job. So we were felt good about getting him for especially what we gave up.
What about the situation with Devontae Booker? Were you caught off guard by that? Or it sounds like there was something bugging him during OTAs as we talked to Vance Joseph. Just your feelings on that situation.
Well, I mean, these things you hope never pop up, but obviously it did with Devontae. And I was talking to Greek about it. And even if we had x-rayed it back in OTAs, it wouldn't have showed up at that point in time anyway. So it's kind of one of those things that takes some time. And it really was kind of in passing at the end of the physical. He just said, is there anything else bothering you? And so, well, my wrist is bothering me a little bit, so we went down. He's a tough guy, so we went down and got an x-ray. And so, fortunately, it's not as long as we thought. He'll have surgery tomorrow, and then hopefully we can get him back, you know, hopefully week one or week two.
You and Vance have both said multiple times during OTAs that OTAs were there to teach these quarterbacks the system. It wasn't really the true evaluation period. Now it's beginning today. What did you learn about your two QBs over OTAs, though?
You know, I think that it was good for them to get exposed to the offense. And I think, you know, the one thing that we feel good about is we feel like we got better around the quarterbacks and gives them a better chance to be successful. I think we're better in the offensive line. And as you know, tight ends are young and up and coming, and running backs. I think Jamal Charles got a chance to be real explosive and help us a little bit. And then the wideouts, you know, we got a real good group of wideouts with a lot of competition there. So we got better around them. And, you know, it was a chance for them, especially for Paxton, having been his, you know, his first offseason really here to where he got involved and everything, that, you know, the exposure that he got and working, you know, with the first and second team and, you know, having that competition. So, you know, the bottom line is I think that's the exciting thing about training camps. We'll put the pads on. We'll get into preseason games because that's where really when you find out about the guys, when the lights come on. And, you know, one of them's going to show, you know, one's going to pop out and show themselves. And so but I think we feel, you know, we feel very fortunate in the fact we got two young ones that we think both can play.
You know, you said yesterday, you made it clear you're not going to tell Vance at all who he has to play at that position, but you will offer an opinion. One of the things I hear when people talk about Trevor is they feel like he needs to take more chances or maybe try to threaten downfield, so on and so forth. How would you define that? What chances are smart to take as a quarterback? When do you need to be safe? I mean, what's your opinion when it comes to that?
Well, I mean, that's the difference between great quarterbacks and average quarterbacks, the guys that can take the right chances, make the big play, but also not make the mistake. And so, I mean, decision-making is obviously a big part in playing that quarterback position. So, therefore, you know, you always try to you know, continue with your decision-making process to be able to push it downfield when you can and have the opportunities, and when you don't, to be able to dump it off. Also avoid the rush within the pocket. So, you know, I think that is just something that comes with experience. And you know, Trevor, you know, he's still a young guy. You know, he did a tremendous job last year. Stepped into a tough spot, following a guy like Peyton. And, you know, we didn't help him a lot, didn't have a lot of help around him. And so, you know, he did a good job last year. And I think with us having better personnel on the offensive side this year, it gives them both a chance to get much better.
John, you guys flipped Max Garcia and Leary right there at the end of OTAs. Is that a spot? Are those two guys kind of locked in at left and right guard right now, or is it still going to be fluid trying to figure out what side you want them on?
You know, I think it's pretty fluid, but I think one thing we did find out is Max is better on the left side. He was really struggling on the right side. And sometimes that happens. You never know why that happens. You would know more than I would on the right and left, and that, you know how that works. And so, you know, Max just really struggled on the right side. So, you know, I think we prefer to have Leary on the left side. That's where he's played and where he's used to playing, but he can move over, and he's done a good job at right guard, and Max is much more comfortable at left. But, you know, with Barbary coming in and Turner at guard too, we got some good competition at guard. So hopefully, you know, we'll get better there. You know, definitely get better there.
John, you get the new contract, and congratulations on that. And we talked about the title already, but the very first guy that you picked that helped you get that new contract was Vaughn Miller. I thought it was interesting to watch Vaughn. The Vaughn we saw yesterday was pretty impressive when I think about the Vaughn we saw who first came in here for his first summer. How impressed are you with your cornerstone player right now for this franchise?
Well, I mean, he's just continued to mature. And I think, you know, losing DeMarcus Ware, obviously we have a little bit of a void as far as leadership. And so I think, you know, Vaughn's taken upon himself to step into that leadership role. And obviously it's probably a little bit different than DeMarcus's leadership qualities and the way that he goes about it. But, you know, I think we've seen tremendous growth in Vaughn, and you've seen him grow up. And, you know, I really look forward to him and having a great year this year. I think Shane Ray on the other side is really going to help him. He, you know, he's had a good off season, and, you know, he had a really good day today. And so, you know, those bookends look pretty good.
What did you see from Shane Ray last year? I was just talking about him a little bit earlier, and quite frankly, I was very happy with the progress he made, because I didn't know that he was going to do that last year. As a rookie, you know, he kind of came in and had some stuff to learn, right?
Oh, yeah.
And,
I mean,
turned it on last year in ways that I didn't know he was going to do.
Right. I mean,
it's been cool to watch.
It really has. We had a little concern after that first year, and I think that, you know, just the way that he came in and kind of handled himself that first year, and I think he learned a lot, really matured a lot. You know, was a different guy last year and really proved that by how he was playing. And, you know, he's even grown up even more this year, and he's really taken a responsibility upon his shoulders. And so really excited about the progress that Shane's made, especially, you know, I think it was a tough adjustment for him at first. I think his expectations of where he was going to get drafted always changes kind of, you know, when they don't go as high as they think they should go.
Right.
There's expectations and also kind of a, you know, sometimes you get an attitude, and I think that, you know, Shane learned from that and you know, has really grown up. So we're really excited about him.
You know, another guy that we're all excited for next week, your teammate, Terrell Davis, joins you in the Hall of Fame, joins you in the Golden Coders Club. Are you excited for – I mean, I imagine you're excited for –
Why don't you ever
him,
wear but, that out here, by the way?
Yeah, along with the rings.
Yeah, that's tucked away. Yeah, they're all tucked away.
That's the special outfit there. Were you surprised? Are you happy? Just your reaction to him getting in, because he was not the slam dunk that you were, because for some people, the length of the career.
Well, and I'm really glad that he overcame that, because when he was playing, there was no more dominant at that position than Terrell. And so, obviously, the length of career was the only drawback that he had. And so, obviously, knowing Terrell, having played with him, how much he meant to us in the time period that he played and how dominant he was, he deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. And so, it was, you know, I'm tremendously happy for him. You know, glad for, you know, for Colorado, I mean, and for the Broncos, and the fact that we've had so many great players and so few in the Hall of Fame, that hopefully this, again, continues to open the door for guys behind him. But there's not a guy more deserving than Terrell.
You brought back Coach Kubiak, which sounds like you knew was coming for a long time, or at least was in the talks for a long time. What's it mean to have him back in the building? And, you know, is his input going to be strictly on personnel, or will he be involved in anything else?
You know, it's strictly personnel, but obviously Vance has got a relationship with him, having coached with him in Houston, and Vance knows him. So I'm sure that, you know, he'll be a great sounding board for VJ if he wants to use that. But I think, you know, knowing what Gary went through and how much he likes football, how much it means to him, and really having worked with him for those 2 years, I found out how good he is at personnel. He's a very good evaluator. And so, and I knew when, you know, even though he was going to step away from coaching, he was still wanted to be in football. And so we were thrilled to be able to have him come back here. And, you know, he needed that little break, kind of get everything straightened away. But he'll be a big bonus for us on the personnel side.
Hey, Trevor, Dave Logan, how are you?
Good, Dave. How you doing?
You know what? I'm doing okay.
Awesome.
How's your body?
Are you
healthy? Are you completely healthy?
Yeah, feel really good. You know, I think at the beginning of OTAs, I was cleared from the shoulder, but was still kind of limited and was thinking about it a little bit. So it's nice to kind of get the summer under my belt, kind of a full set of workouts and be back healthy. It feels good.
Give me a couple things, two or three things that you absolutely were not certain of going into last year as a starting quarterback that after the season, looking back, you are more than certain are true.
Holy smokes. I just think, you know, one, I just learned how long the season is, right? Just from a mental and physical standpoint, it's, you know, it's, you feel like you're on a bit of a hamster wheel, but, you know, it's kind of, it's long, but it's got this way of going by real quick, and it kind of slips through your fingers. But just staying on top of your health and, you know, physically and mentally kind of hanging in there the length of the season. And then, you know, for me, I kind of just learned, mentally when I started. I wanted to figure everything out, and you know, I saw Peyton prepare, and I wanted to, you know, know every defense, what was going on, what the pressure was, what the safeties were doing. And I think early on in the year, I might have hurt myself a few times just trying to, you know, get married to a thought pre-snap. But I learned that, you know, about halfway through the season, and just a lot of valuable learning experience from those reps for me.
How do you balance competing for a job that obviously you want very much, a job that you had last year, a job that I think most people would say is the most important job on a football team? How do you balance those thoughts with being a good teammate and working in a room closely with guys that you have to compete against?
I think it's easy just from the guys we have in the room, right? I think, you know, Paxton, Kyle, Chad, Clint, Coach Musgrave, we got a great room. There's just good people all around. So it makes it easy on you. You want to be a good teammate, and you want to compete, no doubt. And you know, we're just having a ton of fun. So I think it's really easy for not just me, but Pax and everybody in the room to kind of be a good teammate, have fun, and at the same time compete and make each other better.
You know, it's a new – and by the way, we're talking to Trevor Siemian, Broncos quarterback. I'm Dave Logan on Orange and Blue Radio. Last year, different offense. This year, Mike McCoy. You mentioned Bill Musgrave. You know, different cast of characters, or at least a few of the characters are different in terms of the coaches. You've now had a chance in the offseason to explore this offense. I'm sure some of the concepts are very similar to some of the stuff you guys ran last year. But from a quarterback standpoint, I mean, how do you view this in terms of being different than what you had last year?
I think, you know, this offense is, you know, I love playing in the offense we had last year. And I think, you know, we won a Super Bowl in that offense, and I got to see Peyton play in it. So I really enjoyed doing that. But I think with Coach McCoy and what we're doing now, we have a chance to be pretty multiple. And, you know, we have different ways of attacking different defenses with different players. So it's exciting. It keeps us quarterbacks really engaged, keeps us on our toes. And it's a really cool system once you get the hang of it, just because you have answers all over the place.
At the line of scrimmage, would it be as difficult, more difficult, a little easier, or you know, as you apply yourself in the pre-snap read with this offense as compared to last year?
Yeah, I think that depends on a lot of things, right? It just depends on the personnel you're in, the situation, and all that. And we certainly did a good bit of that last year, but you know, I think in training camp it's exciting because you're trying to figure out your identity and what you're going to be using in the season as far as personnel and scheme. So it's exciting to see us kind of come together right now for us. But a lot on our plate. I think the one difference is a lot's on us, and as far as protection goes in this scheme, which is really exciting for the quarterbacks, because you know your problems, know where you got to get the ball out, and know where you're protected. So just an adjustment, but I think we're doing well with it.
Last couple of questions for Broncos quarterback Trevor Siemian. You know, as I mentioned, you started last year. This was, I mean, obviously this was your offense. The competition has been opened this year, and Paxton Lynch, I mean, you know the narrative. Paxton's a first-round draft choice, the whole thing, and a guy that has a really, really good skill set. When you see him in the offense with the first group, is there any part of you that says, you know, he's standing with my guys?
that's funny how you worded that. But you know, that's tough for me to say, because I think the guys in the second group are my guys. So, and I'm sure Paxton sees it the same way when he's going with whatever group we're in. You're kind of dialed into your group, and you're talking to your center or your receivers you're about to roll out with, and you got a lot on your plate as far as that goes, especially how our installs are going. We got a lot of material at us. So for me, it's kind of cool getting to know, getting familiar with all these guys. And no doubt, I played with those guys last year, and it's exciting when I get in the huddle with them, and we have some continuity there. But at the same time, you got to build that with everybody else, because, you know, when the season comes, you need that depth, and you never know who you're going to be looking at in the eye in the huddle, you know, come October, November, December. So, you know, I think Pax and I have done a good job of that, just being good with everybody.
By the way, you and I are friends. I do your show every week, and you handle that from a politically correct standpoint perfectly. I just want you to know that. Hey, last question. I'm gonna end it with the same way that I ended the interview with Paxton Lynch. If I were talking about your personality, which I know you a little bit better than I know Paxton. Would I be able to apply the word grinder?
I hope so. You know, the one thing I've tried to do since I was drafted is really work hard and put my nose to the grindstone. You know, may not be the most talented guy or whatever else, but I kind of saw how Peyton made this thing go and what made him successful. So I've tried to pick up some of those things and apply them to myself and just keep improving every day.
All right, man. Appreciate the time. I'll see you out there soon. Talk to me a little bit about the off season for you. You know, you finish up last season. You don't get many opportunities. You don't play in the last regular season game. After that game against the Raiders, what has the off season looked like for Paxton Lynch?
At first I just kind of took some time off, kind of got some time to relax and go spend time with the family a little bit. But other than that, I kind of talked to Charlie right away, kind of set up a plan, a workout routine, how many days a week we want to throw and how many days I was going to lift. So I kind of jumped into that kind of quickly. And then this last break we had after OTAs, I did the same thing. Went and had some kids at the local high school where my old high school coach is coaching at now. He got some kids together for me, and I got some good work out there.
If you had the title Coach Paxton Lynch, you are the quarterback coach of the Broncos. By the way, you might be the youngest quarterback coach in NFL history, I'm just saying. But if you had that, as you looked at the player Paxton Lynch last year, what couple of things would you tell him going into this offseason?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just getting comfortable. And I think that everybody needs that first year kind of to get it under their belt and go through it instead of hearing it from everybody and experience an NFL season. So I think that's what I really needed the most was being in the building and looking at a playbook, an NFL playbook, being around these guys, kind of learning your way through the NFL and learning to be a pro. So I think that was really big for me. That was something I never really understood about this side of football. But now that I got to the league and got a chance to experience it, I think that it helps me and not only me, but any rookie that goes to that first year and kind of has some ups and downs, they kind of can learn from it rather than it kind of being smooth sailing through the whole first year.
Yeah, it's an interesting point you made, and I want to drill down on that a little bit. When you say learning to be a pro, what for a layman out there listening to that, what exactly does that mean?
Well, to me, it was just there's so much more to football when you get to this level. Like whenever I got here, I know that Memphis, just the media, for example, there wasn't a lot of people at practice. There was, but there wasn't. And then you get out here and, you got to talk to the media certain times a day. You got to go, be out in the community. You got to do a lot of stuff. Other than just going out there and practice, and you kind of got to build up an image for yourself, not just on the field, but off the field too for the fans. And that's kind of one of the things that I had to learn, and just getting to know everybody, obviously, in the building, who you're around, not just your teammates, but the chefs, the people upstairs, the people that help you do, things day to day that you need their help with that are in the building to help you.
You know, I mean, sometimes, and I played in the league too, I think sometimes when young guys come into this league, it is a difficult transition because it is so different than what they experienced in college. And I want to ask you, in terms of just sort of your approach to the game last year, I mean, retrospectively, meaning now looking back on it in hindsight, would you have changed anything you did?
I'm not sure if I would have changed anything because I feel like the mistakes that I made have kind of helped me learn and grow as a player and as a person. I think that, when you're challenged with some things and it doesn't turn out the way you want it to, it's kind of a blessing in disguise. You take it. Some people, get destroyed by it and kind of got brought down by it. But, I'm just kind of the person who's always, if it doesn't go your way, it's supposed to happen that way. And the next opportunity you get, you make the best of it. But I know when I first came in the league, my head was just kind of spinning and, you got to learn this, you got to do this, you got to do that. So I was just kind of going all different directions. I never really had a plan to stick to or anybody really told me a plan. If you do it this way, people have been successful doing this in the past. So I kind of was like learning on my own, doing it my own way. And I've kind of felt like I've got back into a rhythm and a routine that I was in when I was in college, and I've just kind of obviously tweaked it and adjusted it to how I got to do it here. But I feel like I found a way to get comfortable and keep making progress.
Broncos quarterback Paxton Lynch, our guest. I'm Dave Logan. This is Orange and Blue Radio, the inaugural day of that. We're going to be talking Broncos and the NFL 24/7. If I were describing your personality, would I be able to use the word, and this is not a trick question, would I be able to use the word grinder?
Grinder, yes. I would assume that to be a yes, just because I played at Memphis, and that's it's the grind house. They got the grind house down there. They got a bunch of grinders just in that city.
Good enough.
All right, hey, Paxton.
Thanks for your time. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you sometime soon.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, that's Paxton Lynch, the quarterback of the Broncos.
But we want to break and head to the VIP line and welcome in on day one of training camp the coach, the head coach, the new head coach of the Denver Broncos, Vance Joseph, kind enough to spend a few minutes with us. Coach, it's Mike Rice, it's Andrew Mason on Orange and Blue Radio. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it. How did day one go?
It went well, guys. We had a very engaged football team. The effort was good. The energy was good. We had great communication. It was a clean practice. I was impressed.
Hey, Coach Joseph,
yes.
Glad to get through the first day, obviously. Stephen Ridley, you guys picked him up this afternoon. What are you expecting him to bring to the team?
Well, obviously, he's a veteran player that's played at a high level for the Patriots a couple years ago. He was out of football last year. He was injured a little bit, so he got himself healthy. He had a hell of a workout for us today. He is a back that can catch the football. He can play on third down, so he fits our system.
As the competition now heats up, Coach, what do you, as a staff, look to accomplish in this, say, opening week or so of training camp as you get into the meat of the schedule?
Well, right now, guys, I mean, it's the first couple of days, so you want to kind of build your football team up so they can play a football game. You don't want to take the first day and kind of go so fast where you get guys injured with soft tissue stuff. So right now it's a building process. We've got one more day of just helmets. We got shells on Friday and our first full padded practice on Sunday. So we're kind of building ourselves to get to the practice on Sunday.
This morning you praised the fact that the team really came ready to play and responded. Given that your big message to them was staying shape and staying your playbook so we can hit the ground running, what did that mean to you as a coach, your first time as a head coach, that really they took your words to heart and they followed them to the letter?
Absolutely. That means a lot. But, it's a football team that wants to win. It's a football team with great leadership. So, I wasn't expecting guys to come back not in shape. So what I saw this morning, I was kind of expecting, but it's always good to confirm it, guys. So it was fun to see.
Are you at all tired of the quarterback questions?
I'm not, because it's a big deal. I get it. So I'm not tired of questions. It's a big deal for us. It's a big deal for those two guys competing. So it's a huge decision, guys. So it won't get old until it's done.
Can you give us a sense of how you and Coach McCoy and the rest of the staff will evaluate those guys day by day in camp?
Well, it's really based on guys' decision making, ball placement, all those things come into play. Obviously, putting the pads on and playing some games and seeing how both guys handle the pressure, that's going to also play into the evaluation. But it's a huge decision, guys. So we're going to take our time and pick the right guy for our football team.
With Allen Barber, who came in the last 24 hours, how soon are you expecting him to be up to full speed and full participation?
Well, he practiced full speed today.
Okay.
So, as far as the offensive system, probably a couple of weeks, guys. But he's a veteran player. He's played a bunch of football, and most offenses have the same kind of concepts, but call them differently. So once he understands what we call things, he can help us probably as a guard or a swing tackle.
Coach, I know it's been a busy day. I know camp will be busy. We're grateful for a few minutes. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Talk soon.
Pleased to be joined by Joe Ellis, a man that had a lot to do with this partnership between the Broncos and iHeartMedia so that we could give you a 24/7 Broncos station. And
how about
Joe,
that?
How excited are you about this? Man, a lot of stuff has happened with you.
Yeah, no, we did a Mac Freeman gets credit for doing a great deal with
with everybody over at iHeartRadio, and here we are, and Orange and Blue Radio is fun and exciting, extends our digital platform and reaches out to a lot of our fans, and you know, the feedback from the fans has been fantastic. Can't speak for it is for some of your competitors, but this is terrific, and I'm glad you guys are on board, and welcome.
Joe, I got to tell you, it kind of feels like this is the third time in my life that you've hired me, so I appreciate that. Because, you know, you, as a rookie, you hired me, you brought me around for my last year, and now you brought me a gig in the media. So I'm grateful
well,
for you,
man. Well, you'll be a game day fixture, right? You're going to be right. down on the sidelines?
That's right. Yeah, so that's it'll neat. Be a lot of fun down there on the sidelines.
That's great to have you aboard.
Joe, a lot of fans are starting to roll in here. It's going to be a great turnout. Practice is just getting underway here. I know you've made some improvements for the fan experience at training camp this year. Talk to us about what you've done.
Well, food trucks is the most exciting one internally. Everybody's talking about that. And I don't know why that is. We got a nice cafeteria as well, but it's great for the fans. You know, there's just extended stations for sunscreen and what we call misters. You know, you go to one of those hotels in Las Vegas or Phoenix and they throw mist on you. We do a little bit of that here. Won't be necessary this morning. You have an extended autograph session, which will be fun. The fans will get 5 more minutes. Coach Joseph was adamant great. About that. Good for him. And then, you know, the practices are close and the fans are right on top. It's the same as always. So encourage people to come out. A little wet on the hill today. A lot of rain out here last night, but the fields are in great shape. It's a beautiful day. And as the weekend picks up, I think so will the crowds. It's really fun. So it's exciting.
Well, you look at this phenomenal state-of-the-art facility, the state-of-the-art practice facility, the way you've done training camp. All of this speaks to the leadership and the stewardship of Pat Bowlen, exactly. A man that should be in the Hall of Fame. Are you excited? Are you hopeful? I mean, what are your emotions as we go through this year? I think a lot of people, it feels like there's a lot of momentum that he should get his just due and be in the Hall of Fame coming up very soon.
Yeah, I'm hopeful, and I am excited about the prospects of that. You know, Pat's record speaks for itself. He would never speak for his record, and I think that's, you know, that's unfortunate because he should have acknowledged all of his own accomplishments. But, you know, just his work with the league, he served on 9 committees, was really a pioneer in television, a key guy in labor negotiations, a pioneer in international development as well, a really important piece of it. He took the Broncos over before your time, Tyler, to a lot of what were then called American Bowl games to advance the sport in Japan and Australia, and Germany and Spain and all of that. And so that was a key area. Plus, he was really what I would call a kitchen cabinet advisor to Paul Tagliabue and to Roger Goodell throughout his years. And then, of course, his record here. 30 seasons, 300-plus wins, more Super Bowl appearances than losing seasons, and just the standard that he set, and his willingness to give everyone a lot of rope, give them the autonomy, the authority to do what they wanted to do on both the business and the football side, and give them all the resources. I mean, you guys described what we've got going on here. Tyler, we were talking about the facility. You know, it's just he was here every day, and he made sure that all of that happened. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, there have been 2 owners in the last 2 years that have gotten in, Eddie DeBartolo and Jerry Jones. And, yes, we're biased, but Pat's right up there with them, and he should be in there as well.
You know, I really hope it happens. I really do. Being around the league and back as I was over the course of my career, I got to experience many owners. And I'll never forget my first couple of years playing here when Mr. B was active every day in the building. And I picture him on that elliptical where he was for like 2 hours a day, every day, right yeah. there at the trading room. And as you'd walk by, he'd say hello. He had the rare ability as an owner to know how to be hands-on with his players, but be away, how to be hands-on with his coaches, but be away. And whereas some other places I've been, they're either way, they're so far removed that you don't feel their presence, or they're in your face and you're like, hold on, like, we got to do our thing, right? Yeah. I hope he gets in. John Elway was given a new title here. It announced yesterday. I'm sure you guys did it a while ago, but what changes for him? Anything?
No, nothing changes. It's just a recognition and acknowledgement of all the work that he does and the stature and status that he has within the organization, and he's deserving of that title. You know, that title is it may have been used, and I don't have any specifics, 1 or 2 times prior in pro football. It's used commonly commonly in basketball. If you look at Phil Jackson or Jerry West or I'm missing Pat Riley was who I was thinking of down in Miami, you know, those kinds of things. And John really, he's running the show and he's doing a great job. And, you know, we put football first here. I said that yesterday. And the first person to football in Denver is John Elway. And he's working for us, doing a great job. He's here every day. He's takes it very seriously. His competitive fire remains. And we look forward to five more years of excellent Bronco football.
You know, you guys are never without storylines for us. That's why we're able to put a 24/7 Bronco station on. Of course, everybody wants to talk about the quarterback, so on and so forth, but I don't want it to get lost. I mean, how excited are you for Terrell Davis to go into the Hall of Fame a week from Saturday and hopefully a couple more to follow along with the owners soon after?
You know, I'm really excited because I was here for his greatest year. That was my first year back. That was 20 seasons ago now coming up. How about that? 1998. And I had been with the Broncos from 83 to 86, and then I came back. And I remember watching Terrell when I was at the NFL and in his first year. And then and he had a great year in 97, I believe. You know, and then they fell short. Well, actually, 96 he was good, too, in 97. And then 98, when he rushed for over 2,000 yards, I mean, he was the best player in football that year, obviously. I think he won the MVP award. And it was just, you know, a tremendous run. It was just too brief. You know, he got injured in Kansas City the following season, 99. He never quite recovered from that. But just a tremendous player. If you ever go back and watch the film and the blocking scheme that you guys all had, yep. And you look at the explosion, and I mean every pickup seemed to be like 4, 5, 6 yards. It was remarkable, and you know, tremendous in the postseason as well. His postseason record is second to none in terms of running back productivity. So it's well deserved, and you know, Pat Bowlen always he had sort of an angst or a grudge to hold the fact that we didn't have enough Broncos in there, and so. I know he'd be very, very pleased to see this happening next Saturday.
We're chipping away at it. I'll tell you what, we've got to wrap it up, but I've got to ask you, one of the most popular Broncos of all time, I think, and one of my guys, Steve Atwater, right behind you, you bring him back as a player ambassador. How much fun is that to have him in the fold, too, another guy from those
Super Bowl years? Really fun, and it's going to be great for the community. It's going to be great for Orange and Blue Radio. You guys will have him, I know. And it's just he just brings a lot of positive energy to everything. He was like that as a player. He's going to be like that for us here and for you guys moving forward.
Joe, we appreciate the time.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you for
Tyler, good to see you. Look forward to seeing you down on the sidelines.
All right. Enjoy training camp.
Will do.
All right, that is Joe Ellis, of course, president and CEO of your Denver Broncos. All right, let's welcome in. I'm going to say it in front of you. I'm going to embarrass you. My favorite Bronco of all time, oh. Steve Atwater,
I mean,
joining us now. Ahead of number 7.
Man, that's so embarrassing.
He's not around.
He's got to be careful
because he's the boss, but I'm not lying. Yeah, so... Oh, come on. You don't have favorites once you hit college. He was pre-college for me. All right.
Man, there
that's
we go.
What I'm
there
saying.
There we go.
Right?
There we go, man.
So I remember him as a rookie. Rookie year, I wore 27 from that point forward in every sport I played because of you.
Is that right?
I'm not lying to you. I've got jerseys you probably don't want to see or smell in my car to prove it to you. So Steve Atwater, ring of favor
Steve,
with
us. Let me know when this gets creepy. Okay.
Hey, man, we're good.
The
we're
time
good.
He sat down, he already told you. So anyway, you know what, Steve? First off, welcome to Orange and Blue Radio. Excited to have you on the lineup. Are you ready for 1-3? You've got your own game day coming up here in a couple hours.
Yeah, it's coming up in a couple hours. I'm looking forward to it. Brandon Cristall and I, we've been talking some ideas back and forth. So, yeah, it should be fun.
You know, Steve, this has got to be an interesting experience for you coming back into town. I know you're out there on the East Coast for a while, but you obviously have been a Bronco at heart for a long time, and you've got a number of different roles that you're wearing right now, working for the team as a fan ambassador, doing a show now. Just talk to us about what it means for you to get back involved in this Broncos community.
Well, when I was away, I always missed being a part of the organization. I missed actually being part of a team, actually. And, you know, that's one of the larger parts of it is being a part of an organization that's working towards something that's huge. So, yeah, I'm extremely excited to be not only back in Colorado, but it's just kind of like the icing on top is being back with the Broncos.
Yeah.
Steve, obviously you were a great, great safety. Hopefully we're calling you a Hall of Fame safety in short order here. You certainly deserve it. But as a defensive guy, I mean, with all due respect to the units that you played on, you had some good defenses on that 98, 97, and 98 team. Man, that 2015 defense to me was special. One of the things I thought made it special, I'll never forget the game in Cleveland where we're in overtime, and it looks like Cleveland's in field goal position. Three straight plays, the defense pushes them out of field goal position, makes them punt, Broncos win the game. That's just not something you see out of defenses too often. They might be to that level again this year, but as a defensive guy, the offense is going to be constantly asked about the quarterback. The guys on offense have already said they want to know who the quarterback's going to be as soon as possible. Is it important for a defensive guy to know that too? Do you think the defensive guys are as curious about that as the offensive guys?
I mean, curiosity is one thing. They may be curious, but I think that everyone on the team just wants the right person to be selected in the end. And as Coach Joseph said, it's a process that they're going to go through, and hopefully before the end of camp, we'll know who that person is. But from the defensive player's point of view, we still just got to go out and do our job because, you know, we can't put so much effort into who's starting at quarterback, what are the receivers doing. Hey, these guys are running at us full speed, and they're running the ball on us, so we got to make sure that we're ready to stop them.
Steve, do you believe there's any danger for the team the longer this goes on? You know, I was, and I'll preface this question by just a quick story. When I was in Washington, we had a little battle there for training camp between Kirk Cousins and Robert Griffin. They were opening it up to see who's going to be the starting QB. And I'd be absolutely lying if I didn't tell you that that team had very clear choices of who they wanted to be the quarterback. And it became a little bit divisive on that team the longer that thing went on. Do you believe that this team could be in danger of a situation like that if this thing goes far into training camp?
No, I don't. You know, those two players, they were two totally different players with different talents. And people did have strong opinions. Either you love one guy or you love the other guy. Yeah. Here, I think it's a situation where we have two good quarterbacks, and I think that whichever guy plays the best, I think the rest of the team will get behind him. I don't think there'll be any problems.
Steve Atwater, minimum Ring of Famer, in my mind, future Hall of Famer here, joining us as he's going to be here every day on Orange and Blue Radio. You can hear him from 1 to 3 with Brandon Cristal. Steve, we already touched on the quarterback. Seriously, how good do you think this defense can be? You return the no-fly zone, and you had a very fun secondary during your time. And you and Dennis Smith were so much fun to watch as a tandem. You had Chicken back with you there for a while, with Tyrone Braxton back during the Super Bowl years, Ray Crockett, Darian Gordon. So you played with a lot of good guys. But is it fair to say this is the best secondary maybe in Bronco history from, all 5-6 guys that play?
Well, at least from the time that I played up to now, I would say so. Just as a collective unit, with the number of players that they have and the amount of Pro Bowls that they've made, the amount of plays, interceptions, pass breakups. Yeah, I definitely say they're the most talented group that we've had.
Steve, this defense was pretty interesting last year. They followed up the Super Bowl year in which they were obviously one of the best defenses of all time, in my book. And then last year they were still a dang good defense. I mean, really, really good defense. But they were such an anomaly because it was almost like every single game they gave up a touchdown on the first series of the game. And we got behind schedule and we never quite caught up offensively. Why does that happen and how do they fix that? I mean, how can you be that good and give up a touchdown on the first series of every game?
Well, that's something that I'm sure they've addressed over the offseason. They beefed up front, and at the linebacker position, you know, we lost DeMarcus Ware. Hopefully one of the young guys will step up and fill in. So, but really and truly, that's a product of the defense not necessarily playing well, but also the offense not putting up enough points in a lot of games to compete. And although the previous year they were able to, you know, make it work without the offense producing as much, it just kind of caught up with them, I think.
How did you lead when you were a player? You know, we had Von Miller out here yesterday at the media barbecue. He's talking about his leadership style. You know, he said he will approach people if need be. He's not going to be as laid back as Champ Bailey was. Champ Bailey was, if you have questions, and we learned Chris Harris was a guy that sat next to him in meetings in his rookie year, asked a ton of questions, but Champ's not going to seek you out. Derek Wolfe, Von Miller both promised to seek guys out if they have to now and make sure things are being done the right way this year. How did you lead when you were a guy in that locker room and being the guy that was kind of looked to by the younger guys?
Well, I tried to lead by example, first of all. I think that if you're not playing hard, if you're not practicing hard, you're not doing the right things off the field, it's hard for your players to respect you. So I did those things first, and I just, whenever I saw a situation where I thought a person either wasn't working hard or where I could offer a little bit of advice, I would offer it. But I wouldn't just butt in and just tell people, hey, you're crapping, you know, you're doing a terrible job. You know, that, I think that takes people's confidence away. And we realize even at this level, there are levels of greatness. You know, there are some guys that are here, other guys, you know, a guy may be at a 5, another guy may be at an 8, and another guy may be at a 10. And, you know, you got to realize that and work with their strengths.
You know, as far as leadership goes, from your experience, have all the best leaders always been vocal? You know, I think about the guys on this team right now, and, you know, Demaryius Thomas, obviously a leader of this offense. I played with DT for a long time, and not necessarily the most vocal guy in the world. Von Miller, obviously a leader of the defense. He's a highly personable guy, a character of his own right, for lack of better words, like lives life, but not necessarily the most vocal leader. You know, can you be a fantastic leader without being naturally vocal, giving great speeches?
I think so. It's my opinion that people learn from observing you more so than you talking to them. Now, if you're giving great advice, yeah, but, you know, a lot of times people, you know, they take advice for what it's worth,
right?
You know, for what it costs.
Yep.
You know, they see you working hard, a lot of times they'll want to emulate that.
What do you think is going to be the biggest key for this team to get back to the level that it was a couple of years ago? I mean, look, this is not a kind schedule. There's no way to sugarcoat it. We may be on Orange and Blue Radio, but the reality is I feel like someone in the league office is upset with someone in the Broncos because you get a lot of home games, but then it's another long road stretch the back half of the season, just like they had last year. Unlike last year, you've got a 3-game road trip in the middle of the year. Those are never easy, where basically you go to coast to coast because you start in L.A., you go to KC, you finish in Philadelphia. What do they have to do to get back to that greatness level that they were at 2 years ago?
Run the ball. Mm. I think if we're able to run the ball effectively, I think that will take the pressure off of all the other areas. It'll take the pressure off of the passing game, whoever the quarterback is, whether it's Paxton or Trevor. It'll take some pressure off of special teams because you won't have so many 3-and-outs where you got to punt all the time. And it'll take the pressure off the defense, more importantly. And I think the defense will be even better than they were the last couple of years.
You got to stay on the field, don't you? I mean, we talk about what happened, unfortunately, at the beginning of games, but then it always got compounded because the Broncos offense just could not get anything going in the first quarter. That's got to change, doesn't it?
Oh, certainly, certainly. You know, but also in that category, speaking of running the ball, if this defense had a weakness, it was against the rush.
I agree.
You know, they had some problems. They had problems covering tight ends with linebackers in the coverage game. And really just against the rush. That was about it. They still were able to be a fantastic defense. Have they gotten the pieces to solve that puzzle? Can they stop the rush this year, and have they addressed that?
Yeah. Well, I hope so. I hope so. And we'll see here shortly whether those big guys up front will be able to plug up those holes and help the middle linebackers and safeties out with the run game. And if that's the case, I think, you know, it'll be a lot better. And again, if you got the running game going, if the defense isn't on the field for 60, 70 plays, you know, they can be a lot more effective as well.
You know, it's interesting, fellas, because we want to start getting some answers. That's why you get so excited for training camp. But as Tyler already alluded to, no one's putting the pads on really today. Right. They're not going at it full bore like when you played. You saw full practices, full contact. It was like real football right away. How hard do you think that makes the evaluation process at times when you've got to wait 3 days to really get real football being played?
Oh, I definitely think it's going to be a while before you can definitively say, all right, hey, this guy's a player, or this guy, you know, he's a little soft, and, you know, he may be a good player in shorts, but he's not a good player with pads come on. So, yeah, I've seen it too many times where, you know, a guy looks like a superstar until he puts the pads on, and then it's like he's a different person.
You know, in your era, I don't know how often you took the pads off. Mike Shanahan, by the time I got with him, he'd kind of evolved a little bit, and we were taking the pads off. Do you feel like you can get a good, effective football practice in without pads on?
I think you can, but I think you have to have a veteran group, a group of players who understand the importance of working hard even without the pads on. But if you do that with a lot of young guys.
That's a big point right there. The leadership and the guys on your team, because even Mike, that's funny you bring that up, and I forgot that. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're fine.
In Denver, when I got here with Denver, Mike was a little bit more laid back. We took the pads off a lot. After 9-on-7, we took them off. When I went with him in Washington, he was different, and I expected it to be the exact same way. But it was not. Mm-hmm. One year, we had the pads on all day, every day. Another year, he trusted us a little bit more. We started taking the pads off. So I do think that's a key point right there.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, again, if you have a maturity level, you know that when you get on the field, we just don't have pads on just so we can stay fresh. We're not beating each other up versus I'm taking a day off.
Yep.
Talking with Steve Atwater, Ring of Famer, hopefully future Hall of Famer for the Denver Broncos. One more before we let you go. And, of course, you can hear Steve again with Brandon Cristall coming up 1 to 3 today here on the all-new Orange and Blue Radio on AM 760 and 103.5 HD2 and on the iHeartRadio app. So you were part of a Super Bowl team your rookie year. I remember it well. That was a fun year. Bobby Humphrey.
Don't bring that up.
You, Mel Bradman. We won't talk about the end, but look. You know, it's kind of like the 2013 season. I know the end stunk, but it was a lot of fun during the fall. And then you didn't – unfortunately, you got close in 91, the 92 playoffs. It ended in Buffalo. But then you get back there the last couple years of your time in Denver. When – how early in the year? Was it training camp? Was it some point during the season? When did you figure out, man, we're really good? Do you remember?
You know what? The prior year, we had gone – 13-3. When we lost to Jacksonville in the division game, division championship game, but we knew that year that hey, we got a pretty good team. And then in the offseason, Mike made a couple of acquisitions, and man, we were confident going into camp that you know, we could compete with the best of them, and we were on the verge of being cocky, but we tried not to portray that in the media very much, because it's my personal opinion that when you talk in the media, that you know you put unnecessary pressure on your team and on yourself.
Well, you know, I still remember. Go ahead.
I've never been around a defensive player that was soft-spoken. You seem a little soft-spoken, like not as loud as boisterous as most defensive guys I've ever been around. Yeah. What's going on here? This is making me uncomfortable that you're not talking trash and being loud. I mean, why are defensive guys so loud? Why are they so loud?
Hey, some people feel like they have to do that to pump themselves up. Others, actually, it actually works to pump them up. And some people just talk, you know, they're trying to talk themselves into something because they know they can't do it. So
I
try to talk you down.
I always felt like defensive guys were having the time of their life while I was having the worst day of my life.
No, I'm over here stressed. You want to know why he's angry? Because this poor guy, and I do feel for you, you'll play 50 snaps of offensive football. He'll basically be good for 48 of them, but if he has three bad snaps and two end up in sacks, he had the worst game ever, and he's worried about getting cut.
These guys have two good plays, and they're a Hall of Famer.
Jumping up and down.
No, not you. I was thinking. Yeah.
But let's be honest about it. Steve, you carried a big stick, right?
Well,
you didn't need to talk too much. You got to hit people.
When at the end of the day, you can talk all you want to. The tape doesn't lie.
It doesn't hurt when you're mic'd up either, right?
Yeah.
You had a little something to say to Christian when you got done with him, didn't you?
Well, even then, I mean, before I think Jim Sacramento asked me if I would be mic'd up for the game, and I just wasn't thinking, man, I'm going to be playing against Christian Okoye. I'm like, yeah, I'm a young guy. Yeah, no big deal. And leading up to the game, Dennis Smith, he's talking to me. We're watching film. He's like, hey, you know, Dennis, he's kind of soft-spoken. Yeah, you know, nobody's hit him straight up. You know, everybody's going low on him. We got to stay up on him when we hit him. So I was like, yeah, let's do it.
I love it.
You know what? We all remember the Okoye play, but I'll be honest with you. Rob Thomas, who had two Bs on his name at the time, you knocked one off during that game. He was down to one B when it was done.
Nice.
Rob Thomas didn't remember where he was.
Oh, yeah, on the sideline.
Yeah, well, trust me. Yeah. Look, I hate the Chiefs. I hate the Chiefs more than I hate the Raiders. So I enjoyed that game immensely.
Okay, good.
That whole night was Monday Night Football, and I remember it real well. I somehow was laying down when you hit Okoye and ended up standing up. I jumped from my back. I was so excited because that game looked like it might be going the wrong way, and then you drilled him, and that kind of shut the door on their momentum.
Oh, man, that was a crazy game. It was a crazy game, and fortunately we got the win.
Do you remember a lot of your good plays? Because he just got – every football player I know, you only seem to remember what you screwed up. Are you that way?
Oh, man, yeah.
You don't remember the good ones?
I remember some of the good ones.
Okay,
but
good.
You remember more bad ones than good ones, though, right?
I'm telling you, man, if I would have called as many interceptions as I dropped, I'd probably have 60 interceptions. I would have had 60 interceptions.
Hey, Steve, welcome to the crew. We're so excited to have you back here in town and on the radio station. We'll look forward to hearing from you at 1 o'clock.
Thank you, Andy.
All right, Steve.
Appreciate it.